Good evening.
Good evening. Sorry, I'm late.
Monica.
Asleep.
Has joined.
Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
We will start with Olashem Yehud. Hashem Yehud Kud Shabrechu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Liyaka Lishem Yute Bavhe Li Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Elena Masveya Dena Kurene Elena Masveya Dena Kurenehu. We continue our study of Psalm 94. We left off last week at verse 15, and we will continue at verse 15. The Psalm's landing page, number 3, can be found on the unique astrological times link, and that is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When you open it up, please scroll down to Psalm 94. And also to open up the two different translations of the verses. So we will start with the Yearning for Redemption PDF with verse 15. Yad tzedek yashuv mishpat v'acharav kol yishrei lev. Indeed, a time will come when judgment, which is now perverted, will again revert to justice, and all the upright in heart will pursue it. There are 9 words. There are 33 letters, which connects to the energy of Hod, which is thankfulness and appreciation. And thankfulness and appreciation relates to wisdom, to chokmah, because that's how we keep positive things continuing without, and we don't stop the flow of the positivity. If we look at the Makon Mamre, verse 15, what's their English translation? For right shall return unto justice, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. The translation is more literal. Which do you prefer? Verse 16. Mi yakum li im bereim, mi yatsev li im poale awen. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Rabbi Sutton's translation, verse 16. In the meantime, Israel asks mankind, who is prepared to rise up for me against evildoers? Who will stand up on my behalf against those who perpetrate injustice? Do you think it makes sense for people to for the children of Israel, to ask for the other nations to stand up and protect them? Hashem will protect them. So why are we asking the other nations? Or even mankind, rather than the nations themselves? There are 11 words. We know the number 11 connects to the Ketoret that brings you closer to Hashem. And again, we have 33 letters. Verse 17. Lule Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Heyo Ezrata Likimat Shachna Dumanafshi. But the truth is, had Hashem not come to my assistance, my soul would long ago have been consigned to the silence of the grave. There are 8 words that connects to the world that is coming. Letters, which connects to the name of El, which unifies Bina, the world that is coming, with Chokhmah. Let's see what the Nechon Mamre translation is. Unless Hashem had been my help, my soul would have dwelt in silence. It's a literal translation. Rabbi Sutton includes the concept of the grave. The silence of the grave is his language. But there is no word for grave in the Hebrew. Verse 18. Im amarti mata ragli chazdecha. Hashem Yisadeni. If I say my foot slips, thy mercy, Hashem, held me up. Rabbi Sutton's translation, when I thought my foot was slipping, Hashem, your loving kindness alone upheld me. There are 7 words indicating the unity of Zeranpin with Malchut. And again, we have 31 letters, which connects to the Hebrew word for El, which is the name of God associated with Chokhmah. Verse 19. When multitudes of thoughts warred within me, only your consolation soothed my soul. There are 6 words indicating Zeranpin without the unity of Malchut. With the the multitudes of thought warring within me, only your consolations soothe my soul. Verse 20. Haita vrecha kisehuot yotzer i'amal alechok. I ask myself, can a tribunal that negates truth or that makes the perversion of justice into law be associated with you? A good question to ask in our world too. When we see justice and judgment being perverted, it takes us away from Torah when we accept it. I'm going to stay with the verse 21 with Rabbi Sutton's translation. Yagodu al nefesh tzadik v'dam naki yarshiu. The translation of verse 21. Can a tribunal have anything to do with you if it bands together to take the soul of the righteous and condemns innocent blood? It's really the verses questioning the judgments that people do. This is the language and the perceptions of exile. The Mechon Mamre translation of verse 20. I'm sorry, the computer jumped. So the translation of verse 21, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. And it is seven words. I believe I said that. There are 26 letters. We know that's the gematria of Hashem. Verse 22. Vayehi Hashem li lemisgav v'elohe l'tzur makti. But Hashem has been my high tower and my God, the rock of my refuge. Essentially, these last few verses are saying when you see wrong in the world, perverted justice in the world, you need to connect and allow Hashem to comfort you. by knowing that he will avenge and right all these wrongs. Rabbi Sutton's translation of verse 22. In the face of all this evil, I realize that Hashem is my only refuge. My God is the only protecting shelter I seek. If that were only true for the world at large. Verse 23. Vayashev alehem et onam uvratam yatzmitem Hashem Eloheinu. He will surely turn their own violence against them and cut them down through their own wickedness. Hashem, our God, will cut them down. The Machon Mamre translation, and he has brought upon them their own iniquity and will cut them off in their own evil. Hashem, our God, will cut them off. This is the certainty that Hashem will right any wrongs in the world. Once you have that certainty, why should you get upset? So let us read the verses, starting with verse 1 in Hebrew. Read the sequence in the Hebrew, as is our pattern. And then we will return to the Psalm landing page and read the commentaries.
El nekamot Hashem, el nekamot hofia, inase shofet haaretz, hashev gemul al geim, ad matai rishayim. Hashem ad matai rishayim, ya'alozu, ya'biyu, yedaberu atak, yit'amru, kol po'ale awen. Amcha Hashem Yidachu Benachalatcha Ya'anu.
Verse 6.
Almana Weger Yacharogu Witomim Yiratsehu Vayomru Lo Yiret Yahweh Lo Yavin Elohei Yaakov Binu Boarim Bam Uksilim Matai Taskilu Anota Ozen Halo Ishmaim Yotzer Ayin Halo Yabit Ayoser Goim Halo Yokia Amla Meda Dam Da'at Hashem Yodea Makshivot Adam Ki Hemach Yavel Ashrei HaGever Asher Teyasrenu Ya'umi Toratcha Tilamdenu Hashkit lo mimeira Adikare la rasha Shah ki lo yitos tosh yahashem amo ve nachalato lo yazo ki ad tzedek yashu mishpat ve acharav go Yisrael Yisraelev mi akum li imreim mi yityatsev li im poale awin lule Hashem ezratali imat sachna duma nafshi Ima marti, mata ragli, chazdecha Hashem yistadeni. Berov sarape, mikir bitan humecha. Yishasru, yisasasru. Nafshi hai chavrecha, yisehau. Won yotzer amal aleichok, yagodu al nefesh tzadik, vedam naki, yarshiu, vayehi Hashem. Lila Mishkav, Welo Helitur Maxi. Wayashev Alechem et Onam Uvratam Yatsmitem Yatsmitam Hashem Eloheinu. So let us read the Psalms landing page for Psalm 94. We read the first part of it, but now we have Rav Kook's commentary on Psalm 94. And it's titled, Fortunate Misfortune. Ashrei ha-gever asher tayas renuya u-mi-toracha tilamdenu. This is the second verse of Psalm 94. Fortunate is the one whom you, God, afflict. You teach him from your Torah. Actually, it's Psalm, the verse number 12. What a peculiar statement. Why did King David think that troubles and afflictions are so wonderful? And what connection is there between the two parts of the verse, between suffering and Torah study? Rav Kook is going to answer his own question. Afflictions in Torah. The Talmudic sages discussed at length the meaning of suffering in the world. While they wrestled with the theological challenges of this subject, they were equally concerned with the more practical question of how we should respond to adversity and suffering. If you find that you are subject to afflictions, you should examine your conduct. If you have examined your actions and found no wrongdoing, then they should attribute your suffering to neglect of Torah study. As it says, fortunate is the person whom you, Hashem, afflict. You teach him from your Torah. And if you find that you are not guilty of neglecting Torah study, then these afflictions must be afflictions of love. as it says, Ki et asher Yahava Hashem Yochiach. God rebukes those whom he loves. In other words, the Talmud interprets the verse in Psalms as associating afflictions with not the Torah study, but rather its neglect. Still, one may ask, if all the numerous human faults and foibles in the world, why should betul Torah, neglecting Torah study, be a likely cause for heavenly ordained suffering? Betul Torah for the common man. While betul Torah is a serious transgression, there is no expectation that the entire nation will be constantly immersed in Torah study. Scholars should be diligent and devote themselves to Torah study, but the average person is not required to devote themselves to maintain such levels of dedication. It is understood that people will spend most of their time earning a living, a livelihood, and even acquire possessions beyond their bare necessities. Such activities are not considered betul Torah. What does betul Torah mean for the average person? We all have character flaws, which we are expected to correct. Ideally, we should refine our personality traits through Torah. As we engage in Torah study, we are exposed to its values and ideals. If we succeed in internalizing its teachings, we will strengthen positive traits such as integrity, sensitivity, and compassion. The nature and degree of Torah study that is expected from each of us is a function of the flaws that we need to correct. And this is the meaning of betul Torah for non-scholars. Those who fail to invest the necessary time and effort to refine themselves through Torah study are guilty of neglecting Torah. Now we can better understand the connection between afflictions and betul Torah. Suffering refines and humbles. It heightens sensitivity to the needs of others and increases awareness of one's own limitations. Those who fail to correct their personality traits through Torah study may very well find themselves undergoing the less pleasant form of refinement that comes from or through suffering. Afflictions of love. The sages recognize that there are no pat formulas to explain all examples of suffering in this world. There may be completely righteous individuals who are innocent of all misconduct, including betul Torah, and still they endure troubles and suffering. Therefore, the sages introduced an additional factor called afflictions of love. These afflictions are not a form of punishment, nor do they come to correct some flaw on the part of the sufferer. Rather, they are an expression of divine love. But what kind of love is this? There are some aspects of character refinement that cannot be attained by any other means, not by individual effort, not by good deeds, not even by Torah study. They only means to ennoble the spirit and attain a higher ethical sensitivity is through afflictions of love, a gift granted by Hashem that enables a person to attain a spiritual level beyond his natural abilities. It is this concept of afflictions of love that sheds light on the psalmist's assertion, fortunate is the person whom you, Hashem, afflict. I am adding, Do you think your afflictions are coming as Hashem's love? To do so brings you away from the character trait of humbleness. Other commentaries on chapter 94. In every home lurk bits of broken equipment that you know you should fix, but never get around to doing. In the Reuben home, there is a famous plug hole, or for my American friends, the drain. It is upstairs in the bathroom, and the thingy that closes it is missing. Hence, there is a constant danger that at any given moment, something will swim down that open hole while the water is running. Now, the real problem is that unlike water, any such object could, if I know anything from experience, I can safely say will, become lodged somewhere in the labyrinth that is your domestic plumbing. It will sit there forgotten and unmoored, allowing all kinds of ugly rubbish to build up around it. Then one fine day, all will explode. The water won't go down. In fact, it will rise up in righteous indignation. You will not be able to shift it, and the plumber will have to dissect your entire bathroom. He will then show you a long-lost toothpaste top and tell you that you should have had the plug hole fixed years ago. Any reader with even a minimal sense of intuition will have guessed by now that these words are being written with more than a mere academic interest in plug holes. Well, I'll own up. Today I lost a toothpaste cap down that hole, and try as I might, it went beyond my reach within seconds. It is now ensconced in the intricate twists of my plumbing. And the only question is, when do I call the plumber? I can let the problem slide into the murky back burner of my mind, forgetting it, vaguely hoping that far from eye, far from heart, will prove to be true, and that I will never have to give it another thought. But in my heart of hearts, I know it is there, gathering together all kinds of muck, just waiting for the moment to explode back into my life. The dilemma is simple: fix it now or pay the consequences later. In the realm of spirituality, we have a similar situation. We have all kinds of safeguards that are meant to keep us sound and safe. Unfortunately, there are any number of holes in our defense system, and every once in a while, something really bad slips in. Torah observance is a perfect protective shield. And when we have small lapses, then the rot sets up a breeding ground. The bad bit need not seem all that terrible. Perhaps it was a particular juicy bit of Lashon Hara, or a momentary feeling of anger and jealousy. Nothing major, mind you, but corrosive all the same. It gets stuck in your heart and becomes a magnet for all the rubbish that floats about in our minds. Gradually, the mire builds up, the anger redoubles, and then one fine day, bam, it all blows up in our face. At such a time, repairing the soul will need major work. Whereas if the minor irritant had been expelled right away, nothing untoward would have happened. The trouble is, we really don't like to admit that the bad stuff had in fact entered. We prefer to talk it away, thinking it is just some minor irritant that will flow away in the course of our lives. Being truthful to oneself is a difficult thing. But if we allow ourselves to be kidded by our own ego, then we must expect the backlash. It is astounding how often we speak ill of others or harbor jealous thoughts, yet we are adamant that there is nothing untoward, that all is well. Who, me? I never thought that there, nor said this. And if I did, I didn't mean anything by it. Sure. And I did not allow the toothpaste stop to fall into the drain, right? So it will all be okay. Actually, no, it will not be. And it must be fixed before it is too late. There are many who become so embittered because they hold on to these little specks of wrong in their hearts. They destroy their entire outlook in life, poisoned by stuff they could have gotten rid of long ago. The Capital speaks of the ultimate time of reckoning, when the evil done in this world by those who despise Hashem will be punished. Perhaps it can also be seen as a message about our personal battle with malevolence. We too should accept that if we allow maliciousness to dwell in our souls, we face terrible consequences. There is no such thing as a spiritual vacuum. The space in our soul is filled with what we allow to enter. Kel Nikamot Hashem, already, Almighty of Vengeance Hashem, Almighty of Vengeance, reveal yourself. I have noticed before, good Yidden, where want to say, Der Welt ist nicht Hefke. The world is not unaccountable. There are consequences that we must realize. Hashem is a loving father, but then a loving parent must set borders for his young, or else they can come to ruin. When we absorb some awful traits, we must realize that Hashem's vengeance can be swift. We have seen the situations where hate and anger have spawned horrendous results. Things that could never be explained away as mere accidents of fate. If we pollute our hearts, we cannot expect purity. Hashem's vengeance is not what we mere humans understand. The expression is meaning its core does not come from the normal human sense of anger or retribution. Rather, Hashem's rule over this world stems from his complete love for all his creation, and his vengeance is to rectify spiritual inconsistencies that we have caused. Yabiu Yedavru Asak. They express, they speak with arrogance, all the evildoers are boastful. The inner sight of our wrongdoing is the direct result of our clogging up our hearts with arrogance and boasting. We do not like admitting our failures rather than accept that we have allowed wrong to become ingrained in our being. We talk ourselves into believing that in fact we are righteous and all is well. How often do we do this? How often do we lie to ourselves? Vayom Rulo Yireh, and they say, Hashem does not see, and the Hashem of Jacob is not concerned. But he's concerned about a blade of grass growing, a blade of grass that we step upon. So he is not concerned about the Lashon Hara I said last week. We are told, Shaviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, keep Hashem before you always. But that is no simple matter. The Rav Shitzer Rav was known for his quips. Quips that were packed with enormous holiness. He once walked over to someone after the fellow finished his private Shemona Esrei, his standing prayer, standing Amidah, and said, Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back. The surprised fellow looked at the Rebbe in dismay. The Rebbe continued, I can tell that during your Shemona Esrei, your mind was a million miles away. So I thought it only right to welcome you back. it is difficult to keep Hashem in our minds even when we are praying. How much more so when we go about daily business. We don't have to think Hashem isn't looking. Our problem is we do not even think of him at all, chas v'shalom. Hashem yodea makshevot adam. Hashem knows the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. Fortunate is the man whom you chastise, Hashem, and whom you instruct from your Torah. This is no academic exercise. Hashem does not know our thoughts and our vanity. He offers us signs throughout our lives, reminders of where our focus should be. We can turn our backs on these holy messages, or we can hear the Torah lessons and unplug that which blocks our hearts. This is our choice in life. Either call the plumber today or face the flood tomorrow. That is the end of our commentary, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? We have four classes tomorrow. Our morning class at 7 a.m., at 11 a.m., we have the last class in our basic series of classes. I hope you'll join us. We have Deep Zohar at 4:30 and an essay by the Ari at 7 p.m. Shalom Gadol to all. Have a beautiful week. Shavuot Tov. Much peace and happiness and serenity in your lives. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.